Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's time to roll out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I know I said Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
Oh, that means Schomburg Stu is here. What's going on, Stu?
Not too much. I'm ready for the holidays. How about you?
Oh, yeah, why not, right? So, all right, you want to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there. Oh, sometime, hopefully early tomorrow morning, you never know. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, still no Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward anything along that you want to get to Stu. So there you go. All right, off and running. What's going on? What did you hear while I was taking a nap?
Nothing exciting going on in the world of sports, and I'm sure you're looking forward to the monumental upset that's going to take place tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. When Northwestern takes care of Ohio State.
So, yeah, that would really ruin everybody's plans if they somehow managed to get that win. I don't see it happening, but, yeah, I got a kick out of it earlier in the week. You know, their ratings come out. You know, they have their own show to reveal the college football ratings, and I got a chuckle out of the fact that Florida somehow lost and only dropped one spot, and there were a lot of people upset about it. And I don't think what they realize is pretty much three of these four teams are decided before the season starts. You know, you're going to get Alabama, you're going to get Clemson, and then you're going to get Ohio State. So it just matters who that fourth team is. And you have to remember, these are television shows. You know, the playoff games are picked to get television ratings. So, you know, as great a year as teams like Coastal Carolina have had or Louisville have had, there's no ratings in making them the fourth team, because who's going to watch them play Alabama? So,
yeah,
and you know, again, you gotta realize it. You know, it's done for money. It's a TV show for money, and they're gonna pick the teams they want regardless.
So, you think the fourth slot's gonna be a given for Notre Dame?
You know, it could be Notre Dame. They'll probably get beat by Clemson this week, so I don't know if they'll hang on to that spot. You know, there's a few teams right outside there. You know, Texas A&M has had a really good year, and I think they're five. So, you know, I could see them possibly moving up, you know, that one spot with a Notre Dame loss, even though I think Notre Dame is two, but I could still see them moving up.
If they pull out the upset and beat Clemson, would that drop Clemson out of the top four?
You know, you do wonder, but honestly, I don't think so. In reality, it should, you know, because they would be 9-2, and you would naturally think that they would be the team to fall out. Of course, the problem becomes everybody wants to see Clemson, so I don't think they're going to go anywhere. You know, I mean, their punishment may be dropping from 3 to 4, and they may have to open against Alabama, but I just don't see them dropping out of the top four. You know, just kind of looking real quick at some of the other contenders. I mentioned Coastal Carolina is actually 11-0. That's how good they've been. Cincinnati is 8-0. Texas A&M is 7-1. Indiana is still hanging around there at 6-1. So it, you know, there are some teams right in that general area, but you know, in reality, if they were to match up, would they beat any of the top four? I mean, I get it, Cincinnati's 8-0, but are you taking them against Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, or Notre Dame?
No, not at all. And has Coastal Carolina, they're 11-0. How about their schedule, their degree of difficulty on the teams they've beaten this year? Have they beaten anybody of note?
You know, I know they beat BYU, who was undefeated at the time. That was a really big matchup. Let me see. They've beaten Kansas, which isn't really a powerhouse football program. You know, and then obviously they've played their conference schedule. They did beat Appalachian State, who some people may remember when they were a division, I think at the time they were still Division II, they upset Michigan, I think it was. But here you go. Here they've beaten Kansas, Campbell, Arkansas State. They beat Louisiana, who is ranked 31st, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, South Alabama, Appalachian State, Texas State, BYU, and Troy. Their game is canceled for this week, so they're not playing. They were going to play Louisiana again, but in their conference championship, but that's been canceled. So that's 11-0 for them.
Well, that would be amazing. I just don't see them getting into the top four based upon what the TV networks want and what everybody predicts it's going to happen in the top four. And it'll be interesting to see if Notre Dame loses decisively to Clemson, they would probably drop out of the four slot. And I'm wondering if maybe Cincinnati might sneak in.
Yeah, it would be a long way to go for Cincinnati because I believe they're eighth or ninth maybe. So I don't know if they could make that big of a jump without a lot of questions. You know, it would be difficult to explain kind of how the hell they did that. I guess it's possible. But again, I mean, even if they get in, how excited is anybody going to see Alabama beat their brains in by 20 or 30 points?
Now, the game between Clemson and Notre Dame tomorrow, has that game been scheduled for a few years in advance, or is this something recent?
No, this is new for this year because, obviously, with everything going on, Notre Dame is actually playing an ACC conference schedule. You know, genuinely, they're an independent, and they play, you know, the different teams throughout the countries. You know, they do still have, you know, a matchup in the Big Ten. They play some Big Ten teams, and they do play some ACC teams. But this year, since they couldn't guarantee anything, the ACC invited them in, and they're playing that schedule. And this is actually the ACC championship game because Notre Dame has already beaten Clemson once this year.
Right, but I just don't see it happening twice. And if it does happen twice, I think Clemson's out of the top four.
So yeah, you know, it is a possibility. You know, they would be 9-2. There would really be no reason to keep them in. But again, you know, the NCAA is going to take the teams they want. You know, it's not like the votes really matter or however you look at it. So I could see it being a thing where they just, if they did lose, they drop from 3-4. You know, because it would equate, you know, like Florida just lost to a really bad LSU team and they dropped one spot. So it could be kind of the same situation here where Clemson lost to a good team. Notre Dame is ranked 2. So, you know, they would actually have their excuse all set, you know, to be like, well, you know, they lost to a team that was ranked above them. You know, why should they be punished? So we'll see how it goes.
To think of this interesting scenario, if Northwestern pulls off a shocker and actually beats Ohio State tomorrow, and Notre Dame beats Clemson again, who are the top four teams then?
Yeah, well, I think Clemson still gets in, again, because they're losing to a team ranked technically above them. If Ohio State loses, you got to figure they have to be out because they've only played 6 games. So I don't know how you could keep them in being 5-1. You know, I'm again, they would do their best to keep them in. I don't know how they would do it, but they would do everything in their power to keep them in. So we would have to see, but I really think Ohio State is the vulnerable team in all this. You know, I think if Clemson loses, they still get in. But if Ohio State loses, I think they're out.
Yeah, and remember that the Big Ten made some kind of an exception to the rule and let them play in the championship game for the Big Ten, even though they only played 5 games this year.
Yeah, originally they had said you had to play 6. But when they realized Ohio State wasn't going to get there, and again, I understand exactly why they did it. Conferences get a lot of money when these teams make it to the Final Four. So they
Absolutely.
Want Ohio State in that Final Four because there's a big payoff for the Big Ten. So, you know, they're not going to turn that money down.
Yeah, there was no
surprise.
As far as I was concerned, there was no big surprise when they made the decision to allow Ohio State to play in the championship game. That was pretty much a given.
No, I think everybody knew that was kind of coming. When, you know, it all happened, you know, and they started talking about it. And, you know, to be fair, USC has only played 5 games. They're also 5-0. You know, and they're hanging around out there. But looking at some of the predictors, you know, if one of the top teams was the loser, if a Clemson or an Ohio State lose, it looks like Texas Tech has the best chance to move in. Then followed by USC and Cincinnati. So those are the teams right now that are borderline. And Texas A&M has a much better chance, almost actually more than double the chance of USA or Cincinnati getting in, USA, USC, if there is a loss in the top four.
Yeah, it's been a strange season in college football because of so many cancellations and whatnot, but I think when it's all said and done, you're going to see the top four teams are pretty much the ones you expect to see when it comes to the championship round.
So, yeah, you know, and again, that's just, you know, it's what they wanted. It's what they're going to get. And they'll do basically whatever they want to get that matchup. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, that's how the sport is run.
Yeah. And we're talking about the championship game between Ohio State and Northwestern. I don't think you see too many championship games in which one team is a 20 or 21 point favorite over their competitor.
Yeah, well, Alabama is actually a 17 point favorite in their championship game this week too. So there are a couple where there are, you know, some big time odds, but you know, that's college football. And you know, the teams like, you know, Alabama and Ohio State, and you can throw Clemson in there. You know, they get the best recruiting classes every year. I believe they were three of the top five because they just had everybody signed this week. So it's just one of those, you know, it's just the way it was. You know, kids get to pick where they want to go, and they go to the best school.
Yeah, and it does get a little tiring year after year, and especially when it comes to the college football championships, to see the same teams participating year after year after year.
Yeah, you know, and that's part of what, you know, kind of killed the luster for me when it comes to watching college football is there's no difference. I mean, you know, you could bet Alabama every year and you'd have a good chance to win.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it does get a little tiring after a while, but while the kids want to go, as you pointed out, want to play with the best team, so they get a great recruiting class and they're going to be dominant year after year.
You know, and obviously, you know, the bigger school you go to, you're going to be paid more. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. No, they're student athletes. They're not being paid.
Right,
oh,
exactly.
Oh,
don't you think that the NFL teams look for the top schools when it comes to making a selection in terms of the draft?
No, you know, not right off the bat. You know, when you're picking early, talent is talent, no matter where you played. You know, because some guys take a little longer to bloom. But I think as it gets later in the draft, you're going with that kid who's maybe played 2 or 3 years at a big school over a kid who may be playing in, you know, Southwest, Central, whatever.
You know, don't forget, it's a level of competition in terms of they can make these selections too, because obviously the kids that are playing in a high program are playing tougher competition than some of these lesser schools.
So, yeah, you know, like I said, it just depends who the kid is. You know, I mean, you know, again, talent is talent. I mean, Walter Payton went to Jackson State. You know, didn't exactly play the best competition, but still turned out to be a pretty good NFL player.
Pretty decent.
You know, just as many of those guys that you see get picked, you know, come out and struggle. So it's, you know, it's talent as much as it is where a guy played or who a guy played against. I just think it gives a kid an opportunity when they can put a Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson name on their resume, you know, when they go to the combine.
Yeah, I'm sure it helps.
So, but yeah, I know, what is it? Clemson and Notre Dame is tomorrow. I believe they're the afternoon game, 3:00. The USC game is actually tonight. I think it starts as soon as you and I get done. So if you're a college football fan, you'll have some stuff to watch here this weekend. But you know, hopefully at least Notre Dame and Clemson will be a good game like the first one. But
sure,
with Trevor Lawrence, you got to wonder how Notre Dame hangs in this time.
Yeah, I will be surprised. Really, as I said before, I'd be quite surprised if they beat them again. But it's possible.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not like Notre Dame's a bad team and they got lucky the first time. So
they're quite this strong this season. Actually, I was going to watch the USC game tonight, but I may watch the resurgent Chicago Bulls instead.
There you go. Yeah, because that's, you know, those preseason games are incredibly important for.
They are, aren't they? And it's only four games this time, too, so they're doubly important.
Yeah, I forgot. Who are they playing tonight? I know I saw it earlier, and I forgot.
I'm trying to remember. So, is it Oklahoma? I'm trying to remember now. I don't.
Yeah, here, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Yeah, the Bulls are 2-1, so is this it for them in preseason?
It's it. The last game.
I don't know. You know, yeah, the Thunder is just 1-1, so they must be playing back to back or something, because the season starts here next week.
Yeah, that four games is not very much, but I'm surprised they're starting this early.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the whole, again, you know, everything leads back to money, because they have to play 72 games for their TV contract to be valid and for them to get that big payday. So they're playing 72 games.
Yeah, and that's well, as it turns out, if there's no problems, that's almost a full season.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, with the exception of listening to LeBron James cry, there's no reason they shouldn't be able to start next week without any issue. I mean, you know, they've had, I think it's 6 weeks off, and I just find it hard to believe, especially with the way players are managed now, that his body couldn't recover in 6 weeks. It's not like he played 82 straight games last year. I mean, they played a little, they had a huge break, you know, and then they all went to the bubble, so there was no traveling involved. It's not like it was a big wear and tear like a normal 82-game schedule could go. He just, you know, that's just what he is. He's a crybaby, and he's going to whine about everything no matter, you know, what they do. And I get tired of watching the NBA bow down to him, but it's a players' league, and they're going to get themselves in trouble being a players' league, but nobody's watching it anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, the ratings are pretty minuscule, but yeah, he may whine and cry, but I have a feeling he'll be in pretty decent shape when the season starts. That's usually not an issue with him, at least. I give him that kind of credit.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure they have 10 or 15 games already scheduled for him off. You know, it's not like he's going out and playing 72 games like a lot of guys are. You know, they have their load management, as they call it. You know, I get sick of listening to these guys whine, because, you know, the truly great players went out and played every night unless they were really injured. They weren't given nights off.
Well, unfortunately, you don't see that anymore. Go back 20, 25 years ago, and you never saw a player take a night off, especially a top player. Even if the game was meaningless, they would still get their time in. But that doesn't hold anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're up late tonight, you can scout LeBron, because they're the late game on the Mickey Mouse Network at 9:30 against Phoenix. So
that means the game's going to run into past midnight.
Probably. I don't know how the, you know, if the preseason games move a little faster. I could care less what the NBA does, because it's just kind of a, you know, it's obviously the worst of the three leagues. Even though the NHL doesn't get the ratings, it's still a much better sport. So.
And they'll be starting in a couple weeks too, won't they? The NHL.
They were hoping for the second week of January or around January 13th, but nothing's still been decided yet, because it's still a little unclear what the Canadian teams are going to do. And there was a report today that the Canadian teams may have to play in the U.S. So that may push them back a little as they try to find homes for seven teams.
Yeah, I'm sure they can get it done. But, it's still things are still not back to normal yet. But I hope that these new vaccines work properly, and maybe we'll actually be able to see a normal schedule, at least towards the midpoint next year, and things are back to normal again. It'll be a nice thing to see.
Yeah, you know, it definitely would be nice to, you know, get back on track and, you know, have sports back to kind of where they belong calendar-wise. But, you know, we'll you know, we'll see what they can do. And I hope that, you know, the NHL can work it out and they can get started, you know, in January. Now, I haven't heard how many games they're going to try to play. I don't know if they're going to try to play a full season or what they're going to actually end up doing. But I'm sure that'll all be coming out here soon, because it's getting pretty close to when they wanted to start. So.
Yeah, I think they're going to probably play at least 80% of their normally scheduled games, but we'd like to see a deal be made pretty soon, and they should be able to work something out logistically, and so they can start at least in the middle of January.
Yeah, well, you know, luckily for them, they don't have the rider like the NBA did, so they don't have to play a set number of games. So if they have to shorten things up a little bit, it's not a you know, not going to be too difficult for them. It's just working everything out. And, you know, obviously at this point, you know, they've got less than a month to find a home for seven teams. That could be a little tough. I don't know if they're going to share rinks or if they're going to look for rinks or, you know, there was a rumor at one point that one team had actually looked at playing all their games exclusively outside. So.
Yeah, I don't think they would work out too well.
As long as you caught the weather, it could be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's good for a novelty, but I don't see it being done on a regular basis.
I would just want that team in the playoffs, so I would have to,
yeah.
You know, all the games, all the playoffs would be outside. So,
could they play some of their games in Buffalo? I mean, some of these Canadian teams, they're you know, it's right across the border.
Yeah.
They could play. Toronto could play there, and in Montreal, and some of the other teams. Which we love.
You know, and that's the thing they've got to decide. Are they going to share a rink like that, you know, with the Sabres? Can they work the schedule out to where they can do that, or do they have to find, you know, other areas? You know, and then, of course, you've got to find, you know, you've got housing. You know, you got to be able to put the guys up somewhere because they're obviously out of their element then. So there's some questions that obviously are going to have to be answered. And, you know, unfortunately we just won't know until it gets closer. So,
yeah, as you say, it's difficult because of the international situation in hockey and the quarantine aspects that have to be taken care of. I know that I think Canada is pretty stringent when it comes to that. So maybe you're right. Maybe it'll take a little longer than we expect it to happen. Maybe it won't happen in mid-January.
Yeah,
but I'm hoping that it will.
I haven't even heard where the Raptors are playing their home games yet. I mean, obviously it's not Toronto, but, you know, the NBA season is like 4 days away from starting, and I don't even know where Toronto's playing at. So.
Yeah, it's another decision. Are they gonna relocate someplace in the United States until further?
Well, obviously they have no choice. Yeah, I mean, they have no choice because you can't travel to Canada.
No.
So they're playing somewhere.
But no announcement yet.
You know,
and the season's starting right away.
Well,
maybe they're playing in Buffalo
pretty soon.
Yeah, you know, maybe they're playing in Buffalo like the Blue Jays did. And, you know, that's the other thing. Hopefully it's figured out before the MLB season starts, or else I'm sure Toronto is just going to go back to playing in Buffalo again.
Well, that's the logical place for both the Blue Jays and for the Raptors to play. I mean, they're so close, so right across the border, and if they could work things out and have a suitable stadium and everything else, that would be the place to do it. But that remains to be seen at this stage.
Well, at one point in time, Buffalo had an NBA team. I don't know if they still have the arena, but they had an NBA team at one time.
Yeah, they did. They did. And does that arena still exist?
Yeah, I don't know. I would guess no, but I'm sure something replaced it. So, you know,
yeah.
there's gotta be something right there in the area that they can use.
The fact that there won't be any fans in attendance has to help them make a switch a little bit easier than it would normally be.
Well, remember, there will be fans at certain games, depending on where you play. So,
but with minimal capacity, of course.
You know, that's, you know, that's the thing, you know, kind of like the NFL. Some games have fans, some games don't have fans. So it just depends what state you're in and how they're doing it. And, you know, hopefully by the time baseball season rolls around here, that'll be all wrapped up and we won't have to deal with, you know, any of this anymore. So
it's interesting. And I always wonder now when the NFL, when there's a smattering of fans allowed to go into the arena, how are those fans selected? Is it by lottery?
You know, they actually announced how they were going to do it. Or I shouldn't say they. The Chiefs announced how they were going to do it. And I don't remember what formula they used, but I believe, if I remember correctly, season ticket holders were given the first opportunity to, you know, to participate and go to games. You know, and I know another team did that, and actually everybody on their season ticket holder list said no. So they were able to just open it up to regular fans.
Yeah, that's right. Some fans certainly, and justifiably so, are, I'm sure, are reluctant to attend the games in person.
Oh, yeah. You know, and, you know, and obviously you're, you know, if you're a season ticket holder, you're getting a, you're either getting a refund or getting, you know, next year for free. So, you know, why, you know, at this point, why mess with the logistics of it and just, you know, go ahead and take the extra year the way things are going.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think that would be the prudent thing to do.
Well, you know, we'll, you know, at least that would be, I know Dan's, well, it used to be his uncle. Now his aunt has the tickets to the Bears, and she, you know, she just got a refund for this year.
Yeah, well, at least they're getting some money back.
So, but yeah, it's just one of those, you know, one of those things. And I don't, my buddy Double J's parents have been season ticket holders for years, but I haven't spoken to him in quite a while, so I don't know what they ended up doing this year. But yeah, either way, you know, refund or just extend me and, you know, give me next year for free before you raise the ticket prices on me.
Well, they should do that for season ticket holders anyway, even if there was no virus, because of why should you pay full price for a poor performing team?
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, those are the chances you take when you, you know, buy tickets to any, you know, any team. If you're going to support them, you know, they're going to, sometimes they're going to stink, and in some cases they're going to stink for a long time. So
I'm sure we can see the Bears management saying, we did so poorly this year, we're going to send each season ticket holder 25% rebate back for what the tickets cost.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody does that. You know, even like, you know, the Jets who haven't won a game, I don't even think they would do that. So
you take your chances, right? That's the way it is.
Yeah, you know. And unfortunately, that's just kind of how it works out when it comes to, you know, when it comes to sports. Sometimes you get lucky and the team is good, and, you know, other times you just got to live with what you got on the field.
Yeah, well, of course, when they got a secure season ticket holder base, I guess management is not that inclined to make drastic improvements if their team does plays poorly. They get full capacity anyway.
You know, I think a lot depends on what your team is or how your owner is. You know, because, you know, obviously there are teams that want to win and want to continue winning. But, you know, for other people, it's just a moneymaker. So it kind of depends what category your team falls in.
Yeah, you would think that the management would be responsible enough to try to put the best product on the field for the fans. But it doesn't always
I think in some cases, a lot of them don't honestly care as long as, you know, they're making those millions of dollars from fans coming in, because you're going to, especially when it comes to, you know, football, baseball, and certain, you know, and some NBA places, if you own the team, you make money even if it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many years were the Cubs bad, but Sam Zell still made a boatload of money because people showed up.
That's the name of the game. And despite the fact they're putting on a poor-performing team with all the residuals they get in the ticket base and the TV rights, they have no problems generating a nice profit.
No, you know, and I mean, some places are just the opposite. You know, they win and still can't sell out. You know, or in some cases, like Tampa Bay, can't even get people to go to the baseball games.
Yeah, well,
so, you know, and I mean, we're talking about a team that just went to the World Series, but
yeah.
When they're finally allowed fans back, they'll be lucky to draw 15,000 people.
But you won't see the same thing happening in football, will you, when things are back to normal?
No. No, you know, and I think football has the advantage of it's only 8 home games. So you only have 8 opportunities. You know, it's not like baseball where, well, they're home 81 times. We have plenty of time to go see them. You know, there are some football teams that struggle. You know, Jacksonville is having a tough time drawing people. You know, I'm trying to think, you know, the Chargers couldn't draw. That's why they now share a stadium with the Rams. So, you know, there are a couple here and there that have their issues. But, yeah, for the most part, I mean, you know, football's king no matter how badly everybody tries to, you know, break the story on how bad football is. They still rule.
No, that's exactly right. And didn't I read someplace recently that the NFL is considering possibly going to a 17-game schedule down the line?
Yeah, the owners have wanted extra regular season games for a while because obviously it's a moneymaker. But so far the players' union hasn't given in. You know, and it was humorous because they were complaining about, you know, concussions and the wear and tear on the body. But then the owner said, hey, no problem, we'll get rid of preseason. You know, we'll play 2 preseason games or 1 preseason game and just add a game in the regular season. So that eliminated that argument there. And basically what it boiled down to was money. You know, the players' union wanted more money, which is always the case. We'll find that out when the baseball CBA expires after the 2021 season. We'll listen to everybody complain about how they deserve more money, which will be fantastic for people who aren't making any. But, yeah, you know, we'll see if they can work it out. I don't know what one game would hurt, but, you know, they've always got a complaint or a reason or something to not do it, so.
Yeah, if they did go to that 17-game format, that means that, well, I guess they would vary it from year to year. One year you'd have 9 home games, and the next year you'd have traditional age, you'd have to keep it fair.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would, you know, that would work out. Or, you know, it could be an opportunity to where they could play more games outside of the United States. You know, the games in England always draw really well. You know, they had the game in Mexico City that sold out. So it may be an opportunity to you know, expand the game, take the game places it hasn't been yet.
Do you see the NFL eventually becoming international?
You know, I don't think so because I don't think it works on a regular basis. You know, I know that they're, you know, we had the, what was it, the World Football League of America, and it just didn't work. And I think, like, when it comes to town once a year, it's a fantastic novelty and people want to see it. But if it was there for 8 weeks, I don't think it would stick. So
probably not, because they're, for example, like you mentioned, London, they are not going to give up their, well, they call it football there, but it's really, we call it soccer. Mm-hmm. And that's been established for a long, long time. And as you pointed out, our American football coming in there on a regular basis and competing favorably against them?
You know, I could see maybe Mexico City, but I don't know if that team could monetarily compete because of the difference in the peso and the dollar. And then, you know, maybe eventually a team being added in Canada, because while they do have the CFL, it doesn't compete with the NFL season. And if they could find the right Canadian city, you know, maybe a Vancouver, something on the western coast of Canada, I think the opportunity is there for those two places. But imagine the logistics of flying your football team to England, playing in London or wherever the game is, and then having to come back. You would have to have a bye week to adjust. And then how do you schedule that team? Do they play all eight of their home games in a row and then all eight of their road games in a row so they don't have to travel back and forth? So there's a lot of headaches when you look at having to go overseas to play a football game. You know, and like when they do it now, when you play in London, when you come back, that next week is your bye week.
Right.
So, you know, it could be a – scheduling could be a nightmare.
Right, but your other idea is quite – has a lot of merit, though, when you suggest that if they ever do go to a 17-game schedule, they could play that one odd game in London, for example, which makes a lot of sense.
You know, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they do get this, if that's something they wanted to try, where every week there's a game in London just with different teams.
Right, exactly right.
So, because there was some talk with as poorly as Jacksonville drew or is drawing when they have fans, obviously we don't have any now, that they considered moving the team there. But again, like I said, the logistics are just so far, you know, out of context. There's just no way to do this fairly for teams.
No, that's right. And the interesting suggestion, by the way, about a possibility of a NFL team relocating to Canada. But how would the Canadian Football League feel about that, though?
You know, as far as I know, I think they have a good working relationship with the NFL. And again, it's not like they would be going head to head, because I think the CFL season is pretty much all but wrapped up by the time the NFL season starts. So I think, you know, and if it's just one team, I don't think it would be too big of an issue.
No, and I always found it very odd watching a Canadian Football League game. You see so many backs in motion on one play. It's quite odd in comparison to the NFL.
Yeah, it's definitely a different game to watch. You know, in some cases it's kind of fun and kind of exciting, but it is difficult to keep up with if you're not used to it. And you know, it's different, you know, just different. Just like I'm sure they think our game is different. It's just
right.
Different.
And I'm wondering if a player, I guess there's been some CFL, Canadian Football League players that have made it to the NFL, haven't there been over the course of time?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously the most famous one is Doug Flutie, who started in the NFL, went to the CFL and had great success. And then came back to the NFL and played very well. But, you know, Warren Moon is another one. He had a very long career in the CFL and then came to the NFL. So there have been a few, not too many, but there have been a few.
Yeah, you're right. Doug Flutie had a nice career in both the Canadian Football League and the NFL, with the exceptions of his tenure with the Bears, of course.
Yeah, well, you know, when he first started in the NFL, it didn't go very well for him. You know, so he went to Canada where he got a chance to start, he got a chance to play, and then when he came back, he had much, much more success. So,
yes, that's right. That's right.
But yeah, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those things. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that, you know, who could have popped up. There was a Miami had a defensive lineman, Cameron Wade. One of the two. Let me see if I can find his name here really quick. You know, he transferred over and played really well. But yeah, other than that, I can't think of too many more off the top of my head. Well, I guess, you know, we are missing. Don't forget Joe Theismann actually started in the Canadian Football League and then came back. Yeah, it's Cameron Wake who went on. He was undrafted, went to Canada, proved himself, and then came back and played really well for the Dolphins and I think one other team. So,
but have there ever been any halfbacks or fullbacks who played in the CFL that made the transition to the NFL based upon the rule changes?
Do you count Ricky Williams? You know, he played. God, when did he played? He had a, looks like, yeah, here, 2006, he signed with the Argonauts, and then came back. But other than that, no, it's mostly receivers and, you know, linemen, you know, defensive linemen. So,
yeah, exactly. But you have a photographic memory. I'm impressed that you can remember these. Well, I guess he wasn't really that obscure of a player, Ricky Williams, but to come up with that name just like that, impressive.
Well, I actually got lucky because I was looking for Cameron Wake, and it was in an article of NFL guys, CFL guys who came to the NFL, and Ricky Williams was listed. So that was just dumb luck.
Wow. You're giving away your secrets.
Yeah. You know, well, that's what the Internet's for, right? To make
everybody
seem smarter. But, yeah, you know, and I can understand with the way the Canadian League is played why the receivers are the guys you're looking for. Because, obviously, you know, three downs, you're throwing the ball a lot more. You know, it's not really a running back's league.
Not exactly right. And I'm trying to think of the CF, the Canadian Football League. I mean, how long have they been around? They've been around a long time, or is it – relatively in the last 20, 30 years, has there always been a CFL back in the 40s and the 50s? I'm trying to remember if there have been or not.
Yeah, you would think. I'm sure I can use Dan's favorite search engine and Bing that here. It was founded on January 19th, 1958.
Okay.
So...
and I'm sure they must have done that so they could have some kind of competition with the ratings on the NFL games, which are, I'm sure, probably popular in Canada. And maybe they wanted to try to do something with that and maybe get some interest with their brand of football. And I'm wondering who came up with the rule changes and why.
Yeah, it would be interesting. It does say, let's see, the commissioner is Randy Ambrosi, but I'm guessing he's probably new, so I doubt that he was the guy. Does it say who actually founded the league here? Is it in this little article here, or does it just so? Yeah, it doesn't look like there's a name here. It looks like it was kind of a rugby league that turned into a football league. So, oddly, what I didn't know is
because
of
it was maybe faster paced game. I don't know.
Yeah, did you know in 1993 they had a team in Sacramento? They had the Sacramento Gold Miners. I had no idea that they reached out. Yeah, apparently, yeah, they've had one Sacramento, Las Vegas, Baltimore, and Shreveport. And then Birmingham and Memphis, they've tried to reach out to the United States to get the expansion, but obviously the teams didn't stick around. The Baltimore team actually won the Grey Cup in 1995.
Yeah, it'd be hard to see them competing favorably with the NFL. I don't know if people would take well to that three down situation with everybody in the motion and actually do it on a week to week basis.
Yeah, I mean, at least they were smart and they picked cities that didn't have NFL teams. You know, that's a mistake a lot of leagues make. They try to go into an NFL market. But yeah, you know, at the time, neither Las Vegas or Baltimore had a team. So, you know, those worked out. It's odd because I don't know. I'd like to know how long some of these teams lasted. I would be surprised if they lasted more than a couple of seasons.
You would think not. It's pretty hard for them to come in, even if they have no team in their town, and to generate the interest after the viewers are so used to watching the NFL style of football over the years.
Oh, here, I actually answered my own question. It looks like 2 years was as long as any of the U.S. teams lasted.
Well, it's obvious from that they didn't draw very well, did they? I mean, you could make that inference, can't you?
Yeah. So, yeah, they also had teams, proposed teams in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, Miami, Florida, Houston, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, and Shreveport, Louisiana, that never got off the ground.
Well, that's not surprising.
So, but yeah, they have 9 active teams right now. So it's Hamilton, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto is the East Division. And then BC, of course, British Columbia, Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and Winnipeg is the West Division.
Well, I don't imagine it's much fun playing in those cities during the colder weather. But, of course, they get done pretty – when do they get done? They get done a lot sooner than that,
yeah,
as you pointed out. So they can avoid the cold weather.
Yeah, they don't have a schedule listing here, but what do they? It's 18. They play 18 games over 21 weeks for a regular season. So, and it looks like they start. I don't know if Labor Day is the same in Canada, but they start Labor Day weekend, and it goes for 21 weeks.
Well, they would run into some cold weather then, wouldn't they?
Just, probably a little bit, but not as much as, like, you know, the NFL is going to run into come, you know, January in Chicago if the Bears were in the playoffs. So,
that's a big if, isn't it?
Well, this year it is, but, you know, the teams that actually get in, you know, if you're out, you know, on the East Coast, you know, there's going to be some cold weather, or just depending. Well, of course, now, depending on where you are, it seems like everybody's getting cold weather. But,
I cannot envision any game being colder than the famous, infamous Ice Bowl that took place in Green Bay many, many years ago.
Yeah, no, you know, I believe there was one temperature-wise, you know, recorded that was colder, but not with the conditions. I don't think the conditions were as bad. It was just cold.
Yeah, well, you can put up with cold, but they had a little bit more to contend with in the cold during the Ice Bowl.
So, but yeah. So, yeah, you know, they've been hanging around for a while. So
yeah, it's surprising that they've made an attempt also to make some inroads into the United States, but so far, like you said, they haven't lasted too long, any of their franchises.
So, yeah, oddly, this is kind of humorous. In 2014, they took a survey of exclusively Canadians and asked them what they would prefer to watch, the Grey Cup or the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl won 52-48%.
Uh-oh. Well, I'm sure they weren't happy when they got the results of that one.
Yeah, so, you know, but, you know, unlike, and it helps, obviously, that there's only 9 teams. Every team has won at least one Grey Cup. So,
yeah, maybe they structure it so that it's the teams are always going to be competitive at least and have a chance year after year.
So, yeah, Edmonton has the most with 11, and they are just the Edmonton football team. They used to be the Edmonton Eskimos, but obviously that needed to be changed because I'm sure Eskimos is now considered a racist term. So, yeah, they are just exclusively the Edmonton football team looking for a new name.
Well, and don't forget that Cleveland's doing the same thing in baseball starting next year.
Yep. So, yep, even though I wasn't, you know, like I understood how their mascot was incredibly racist, Chief Wahoo, but I didn't quite get why the name was so bad, but I guess that's just me.
And what about the Braves? Do you think that's racist, the Atlanta Braves?
Well, you know, they're the next team they're going after. They're going after the Braves. They're going after the Chiefs. So we'll see if one of those teams give in or how it works out. But those are the next teams on the list. So,
and so far, the Blackhawks have made a statement saying that they're not going to change their name.
For no, now, well, if I remember correctly, the Blackhawks have the support of the tribe, kind of like the Florida State Seminoles do.
Yeah.
You know, the remaining members of the Blackhawk tribe actually supported the Blackhawk name. So if it's not the, you know, indigenous people or the American Indians who are complaining, what's your basis for the argument? And I know they went after Florida State, and it was the Seminole tribe itself that said stepped up and said, hey, we're allowing them to use the name. So,
well, that stopped the argument in its tracks, I hope.
Yeah. You know, I mean, how do you fight that? You know, you're going to fight against the tribe that has the name. So, I mean, I'm sure there were people dumb enough to want to, but if the, you know, if they agree with it, hey, good for them.
Right. Yeah, I always wonder if we're becoming a little bit too politically correct nowadays.
Yeah, you know, and like I got the Redskins, you know, that was racist. I could see that, but, you know, you're basically the Indians are named after what Columbus thought he found because he thought he landed in India.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And there, to me, there's no racist concept to that term.
So, but, you know, we'll see what they come up with. I hope they go back to one of their old names like the Spiders or the Broncos or the Blues or something like that. So,
yeah, the Spiders, that sounds interesting. I like that name.
You know, we'll see how that goes. But, you know, they're still the Indians for one more year. And, you know, even it's not like anybody's going to go watch them even if they play.
No.
Hey, if you stop by and listen to Q&I Live, thank you for doing that. But remember, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at tunein.com.